This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show. Remember, this is your final word in small business. For those of you keeping track, and I know you all are, this is now incredibly show number 493. This episode is provided by Nextiva. They're your answer to your business communication solutions in the cloud. It's also sponsored by Finagraph's CashflowTool.com, which is an innovative cash flow tool that syncs with your QuickBooks to forecast your cash with uncanny accuracy. For more information, go to www.cashflowtool.com/Barry. Well, I find that learning how others have been successful can really help the rest of us. So what can we learn from self-made millionaires? Emery Sabbath is the author of a new book. It's called What Self-Made Millionaires Do That Most People Don't, 52 Ways to Create Your Own Success. She's the founder of At Ease, Inc., a 31-year-old New York-based consulting firm. She's also the author of a book called Business Etiquette, 101 Ways to Conduct Business with Charm and Savvy. Emery, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barry. I'm going to make you my agent.
There you go. So how'd you get interested in writing about this topic for this particular book?
Well, appreciate you asking. As you said, for a few decades, I've had the pleasure of working with professionals in the service industry, professional service industry. And what I noticed 2 years ago is that they knew how to generate business for their organizations. However, most of them did not know how to be successful personally. They were in debt. They were doing things the right way professionally. However, they weren't really creating their own success. And I'll give you a perfect example. And so I said to myself, I want my legacy to be assisting individuals and being responsible for their own destiny. And that's really how it came about.
And so when you talk about self-made millionaires, you're really looking at people that created their own wealth, not necessarily the best way to become a millionaire, which is to inherit it.
Exactly. No trust fund babies. I refuse to interview any trust fund.
So talk about some of the key habits that you found that self-made millionaires have that a lot of people don't.
Well, what they do is they own their future. They own their destiny. And you know, your show, Business Insanity, has quite a focus with small businesses. Small business owners know that they have to be able to be the ones to make it happen. Another habit is having a high EQ. You can be a straight A student. You could be magna cum, whatever you want. However, having a high emotional quotient is the name of the game. Also, using time wisely. Because, Barry, you know, when you're early, you're on time. When you're on time, you're late. When you're late, you're out of luck. And people who are late can also not manage their finances. So we're talking about habits such as being on time or early. We're talking about owning your destiny. We're talking about turning what people may see as a failure into an opportunity. We're talking about people who are creative. We're talking about people who keep doing it until they succeed, persevering. We're talking about people who exercise not only their bodies, but also their minds by learning something new every day. These are just a few of the habits.
I love, Emery, you talk about how they really own their own destiny, because I find that a lot of people try to blame their lack of success on someone or something else. And in the end, it's really, you have to be self-reliant if you're going to be successful in business.
You're right. Losers make excuses. Winners find solutions. And that's the name of the game. That is what it's about. And let me tell you, may I give you a perfect example?
Sure,
because
of course.
It's so magnificent. I found these 30 self-made millionaires randomly. A few people I knew. I didn't even know they were self-made millionaires. I just knew they were very humble. They were down to earth. However, three in particular stand out. One gentleman who happens to be in outside Dallas started a home repair company, a painting company, and now a home improvement. He and his wife literally have $2 left in their pockets. They would go to their parents' home and they would get canned food so that they would have food to eat for the week. Think about that. And now he has 50 employees and very successful, very down to earth. Another woman came from Sierra Leone to the United States thinking she was going to get a degree in communications. Long story short, she fell in love with quote-unquote Prince Charming. They had a child. A few years later, divorced, found herself on welfare, did not have enough food stamps to buy milk for her baby, had to feed the baby water, and that's when she turned the corner. She said, I have to make it happen. She ended up with a multi-million dollar business. Now, it didn't just happen, but a commercial cleaning business, hired 200 employees over the years and taught them how to own their own destiny. So what I'm talking about, this book is designed to assist people in recognizing that they can do it too. You don't have to have a PhD. You simply have to know how to respect yourself in order to respect others and take every opportunity and recognize there's a pony inside.
So just like Cracker Jacks, right? There's some kind of pony inside. So Anne-Marie, what was the one habit that actually surprised you the most?
Well, let me tell you, in putting this together, I'm going to tell you, I don't know, I can tell you the habit. I guess what I would say would be probably the business about exercising for the health of it and recognizing how important exercise is to the total success. However, if I may build on that, Barry, I have to tell you, I had so many misconceptions about self-made millionaires that I saved that section for last. I assumed, and you know what assume means, I assumed that millionaires, self-made millionaires, had the best education. Let me tell you, just like Jeff Bezos, some of them didn't even graduate from high school. Some of them have a college degree. Some of them have a high school education. But think about that. I also assumed that they had the biggest and the best, and they kept up with the Jones, like Warren Buffett, who we know is a billionaire. They live in very humble houses. They are minimalist. They don't have every type of hoopla. You should see how I have cleaned out my house. There is not one thing that I don't use regularly. I'm down to 100 items because this is a habit. They keep what they have. They do not stand out in a crowd. They don't need that attention. They blend in.
Well, Emery,
I
understand. Now that I live in a smaller apartment, my wife and I, and we don't live in a house anymore, we have this rule that if something comes into the house, something of equal size goes out.
That's brilliant.
So that works out well.
It works out well. And this is what I want your listeners to know, that of the 52 ways for creating their own success, I can guarantee you the majority of your listeners probably have more than 50%, maybe 70% mastered. So this is what's so important to let people know they are already on the journey. They simply have to tweak the secrets or the ways that they're not using.
So in the 2 minutes that we have left, where should a small business owner that's listening, if they want, again, the same path as these self-made millionaires, what kind of changes can they make immediately?
Well, here's the bottom line. Changes that they can make immediately. And I have many changes. I have 5 changes before I make it. Number one, they should monetize their expertise. They should make sure, and small business owners know that. Some of them have already done that. They should enjoy the journey as much as the destination. They should also make sure that they pre-plan every single purchase. That is essential. So what's happening is they should be philanthropists. Always pay it forward. Always innovate. Always reinvent yourself. Be imaginative. This is what it's about. It doesn't sound like rocket science. However, people let things go by the wayside. Always be the optimist. Know that associate with people you want to be like, not the people who are like you, and make sure you always pay it forward. And set priorities by being a time master. Create alone time every day in order to be able to take time to think.
I think it's some great advice, and I've always felt that we can learn from other people what they've done. And again, there isn't any magic formula. It's not like I'll follow these 52 and automatically become a self-made millionaire. It's what can we learn from the success of others, and how can we apply it to our life? Anne-Marie, if people want to learn more about what you're doing, where can they get in touch with you?
Well, thank you. They're welcome to go to AnnMarieSabbath.com. That's AnnMarieSab, just one B, SABATH.com. And they can go from there. I answer every single question, or they're welcome to Facebook me at Anne Marie Sabbath, comma, author. And I respond to every single person anytime they have questions. My goal is to assist your listeners in creating their own success.
Well, Anne Marie, thanks for the show. The title of the book is called What Self-Made Millionaires Do That Most People Don't, 52 Ways to Create Your Own Success. Anne Marie, thanks so much again for being on the show.
My pleasure, Barry.
Coming up, we're going to talk about, is the United States still an innovation leader, or somehow the economy changed? This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
Good morning, the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center. I'm Jeremy Scott. A couple of problems out there already. We'll start things off on the city south side, where there's a pretty serious crash blocking off the intersection of 103rd and Luella. Also, as you're traveling through Huntley, southbound Halicus is closed. Algonquin and Main for crash investigation and cleanup as well. On really the rest of the expressways, those are all moving well. I do want to let you know that Pierogi Fest in Whiting closes 119 from Indianapolis to Ohio. That's going to be until early tomorrow. Still have 11 to 5 for that festival. In Pilsen, Fiesta del Sol closes Cermak from Canalport all the way over to Blue Island Avenue until noon tomorrow. And in Grand Park, you have a Lollapalooza setup closures on Balboa Jackson from Columbus to Lakeshore Drive. Forecast for today might see some rain with temperatures still sitting pretty in the mid-80s. Right now at O'Hare, you are seeing temperatures 64, 67 at Midway. That's traffic on AM 560, The Answer.
My overrating's bad.
Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson.
I didn't know, too, that we could tip Uber drivers.
Didn't know.
This is new to me.
Every time you complete a ride, you get it right. Pops up with a rating, and then if you want to add a tip. 2.5 Uber rating for Amy Jacobson, 4.88.
What?
That's just for Dan Proft.
Do you just not even say anything to them when you get in the car?
Correct. That's the secret to getting a high Uber rating.
Chicago's Morning Answer. Weekday mornings starting at 5 on AM 560. The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Get a copy of Barry's new book, BAM, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is BAM, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Moult and get a free copy of the book.
Mayhem is everywhere.
I'm a tailgater, and right now I'm feeling a little clingy. For the past few miles, I've been following you like a lovesick puppy. Driving experts say I should be 3 car lengths behind you. But what do driving experts know? They can't keep us apart. Because every time you look back at me, I feel us getting closer. I'm not just in your rearview mirror, I'm in your head. And while your eyes are on me, they're not on the car stopped in front of you.
Wait for me, lover.
And if you got cut rate insurance, they might not always be behind you. So get Allstate, where agents help protect you from mayhem, like me.
Call Hinsdale agent Madeline Lopresti today at 630-789-5882. That's 630-789-5882. Subject to terms, conditions, availability, and coverage selected.
See what the personal service of an Allstate agent can do for you. Are you in good hands?
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moults. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
My next guest believes that the U.S. has given up its role as one of the biggest innovators in the world economy. Bill Janeway is a senior advisor and managing director at Warburg Pincus. He's an affiliate member of the economics faculty at Cambridge University and is the author of a book called Doing Capitalism in the Innovation Economy, Reconfiguring the Three-Player Game Between Markets, Speculators, and State. Bill, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you, Barry.
Well, Americans have always been known as innovators. What's happened?
Well, when you look back, and this goes from the digital revolution of the last generation all the way back to building the railroads by way of electrification, there's been an intimate kind of collaboration, not necessarily planned, between a mission-driven government with a purpose that transcends short-term economic calculus, linking the nation together by railroads, electrifying the country from the big cities to the rural areas, and, of course, during the Cold War years, investing way upstream in the new technologies long before they were ready for commercialization. And that's why I call this a three-player game between an active entrepreneurial government, financial speculators who can see and anticipate that these investments may actually have a transformational impact, the way the railroads did, and there was massive speculation before the Civil War, the way electricity did, and there was massive speculation in the great Roaring 20s bull market in New York. And then again, when the investments in semiconductors and software and the internet began to become real, we had the great bubble at the end of the 20th century. The problem today for the U.S. role in the innovation economy is that the government has dropped out. There's no question there's enormous momentum in building out and completing the digital revolution with tremendous disruption in local markets, in the national labor market, and internationally. But the next revolution, the green low-carbon revolution in response to climate change, the U.S. has abdicated, and China has become the unquestioned world leader at the frontier of innovation.
So, Bill, has this happened because, you know, Trump wants to be an isolationist? He wants to close the borders. Is that really what's driving this?
Well, I think it's deeper than that. I think Trump is more of a symptom than a cause. We had a long generation where intellectuals, economists, not only from the University of Chicago, but much more broadly, allied with those who really didn't want government messing in their businesses, made it illegitimate for the American government to be an active participant in the economy. You know, I can remember, I'm old enough, when Ronald Reagan famously said, government isn't the solution, government is the problem. And the problem with that is that the guys at Intel, the guys at the early computer company, they wouldn't have understood what he meant because the government was their partner. It was their customer. It funded the research that was too risky for them to undertake themselves, but it turned over the output of that research to those companies to commercialize in the national interest. That partnership is what we're missing. Certainly, the paralysis in Washington and Trump's kind of posturing about America first follows on from that, but it is a deeper, longer program that has reached, and we thought it might have reached its end when the global financial crisis showed that back in 10 years ago, that left to themselves, markets will break down, markets will blow up, and that's what we absorbed then. We had a very brief moment when not just the U.S. government, all the governments in the world through Europe to China underwrote and protected the markets from themselves. But now we're back into this paralyzed state. Fixing it is a long-term problem, not an immediate political fix by one election.
But isn't the government getting involved in just the Trump administration just getting involved in another different way, like with tariffs? You know, they're trying to pick the winners and the losers. So it's not like they're backing off from being involved and letting the economy do what they want. They're just involved, in my opinion, in a different way.
You know, Barry, I think you've got it. You've nailed a really important contradiction and a flaw that we've got to address head on. Because, look, we've now got a couple of hundred years of experience where we have a relatively open political process that's gone from white males only to every adult in the country. We've got a political process that has responsibility for allocating resources, for providing the laws and regulations that enable markets to function. And then we've also got the markets themselves, which are also doing something, the same sort of thing. And one of the things we can see again and again and again in American history and the history of the world is those who gain power in the marketplace seek to use it politically, and vice versa. But we're now in one of those stages, as we were in the late 19th century, as we were in the 1920s, when those with great wealth, great economic power and force have been able to use the political process for their own purposes, their own gains. I mean, it is a little ludicrous to realize that special treatment for the coal industry, whether by regulation or by inducement to use coal as a fuel, is supporting an industry that employs all of 50,000 people in the United States today and whose external negative consequences for everybody else in the economy is proven and demonstrable. And that is special interests using the political process in the most extreme way.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Again, I think that the government now is not getting involved, but they're starting to pick winners and losers. And you saw recently where now you have to use coal, you've got to use nuclear. One of the things you said before is that this whole idea of us withdrawing as innovators comes at a time when America really needs to be involved in the whole idea of green technology. Talk a little more about that, Bill.
Well, we've got some momentum going in different parts of the world. Some of the technologies are beginning to mature. Solar is the cost of a kilowatt hour of solar power when it's on, is approaching what they call grid equivalence, so that competitively, if you left the market to deal with it, you'd be using more solar. But we have a lot of science and technology research and development that is clearly needed, above all, in energy storage and for managing the electricity grid so that it can deal with the intermittent sources of power that come from solar and wind. That's the kind of problem that the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, the famous DARPA, was dedicated to addressing 50 years ago and onward. And of course, it's what gave us the internet. It's what gave us GPS. We don't have any such activity in the U.S. today.
So, Bill, let me interrupt you. What is going to happen that now the government isn't making these kind of investments? I mean, I keep thinking of the space race and all the great technologies that came out of that, where the government would invest, early on in research where it wasn't profitable, but they did a lot of the basic research, so later on it can be commercialized. If we don't have that now, what's going to happen?
Well, we're not the only government in the world. And it doesn't take much research to discover that the Chinese have taken on this challenge the way we took on the challenge of computing back right after World War II. The Chinese are pouring tens of billions of dollars into exactly these issues. They're building out and proving the technology in China, and they're now taking it to the world. They're taking it to Africa, to Southeast Asia, and into Latin America. They're doing with green technologies exactly what we did with computing, and we're going to wind up being the users of the technology that they've invented and that their companies have commercialized. This is potentially the first succession in leadership of the innovation economy since 100 years ago the U.S. took over from the United Kingdom, from Great Britain, and became the unequivocal leader in innovation.
Yeah, certainly it's a scary time. It's not the kind of thing where to turn it around, you just flip a switch. Bill, thanks for being on the show. Where can people get in touch with you?
They can find me at www.billjanely.com. It's got all the information about the book and some other writings, and it also says where I'll be speaking over the next coming months. Barry, I can't tell you how much I appreciate this opportunity to talk with you.
No, I appreciate you being on the show. This is AM560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
Larry Elder wants to see real evidence of collusion.
There's a hashtag going around called hashtag treason summit. I mean, come on.
What's the evidence that Trump has done something to curry favor with Russia? Building up our energy independence? Criticizing the pipeline that Russia intends to build? And Donald Trump is too soft on Russia? I don't get it. Nonsense. That said, where's the collusion? There isn't any.
The Larry Elder Show. Weeknights at 7, right before Jay Sekulow at 9 on AM 560. The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Mike Cantor. Wildfires continue to burn in California. Thousands still homeless in Redding, the site of the car fire. Five dead, hundreds of homes and businesses destroyed.
We are currently utilizing the National Guard, and they're coming in to help us in all facets of this incident, from support to fire suppression.
Cal Fire Commander Brett Govea, 10 shot in New Orleans, 3 dead.
We received a call of a shooting in the 3400 block of South Claiborne Avenue. The report was that we had multiple victims that had been shot. Police arrived along with EMS, who rendered aid to a number of victims.
Police Superintendent Michael Harrison. In Michigan, a mother of five and her children are dead after a fire rages through a motel near Benton Harbor on Lake Michigan. Fox News, we report, you decide.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
Good morning from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center. I'm Jeremy Scott. A couple of closures with crashes. One on the south side of 103rd is closed from Stony Island to Torrance. Also, you're seeing southbound Halgus and Huntley closed Algonquin to Maine, all due to crash investigation and cleanup. Other than that, the rest of the roadway is not looking too bad. The construction is not posing any problems so far this morning. This update is sponsored by Compassion International. Sponsoring a child with compassion is the most effective way to end extreme child poverty. Release a child from poverty when you become a Compassion sponsor. Choose your child now at compassion.com/radio. Do your part to release a child from poverty today. Today's forecast, you're going to see mostly sunny. You might see some showers and thunderstorms. Temperatures in the low to mid-80s. Right now at O'Hare, you're looking at 64 degrees. That's traffic on AM 560. The Answer.
Cash flow. It's something every business is worried about. It's hard to know at any given moment how you're doing, and worse, it's impossible to predict the future. Until now. Welcome to CashflowTool.com, the ultimate companion for QuickBooks. CashflowTool.com gives instant visibility on any device, anywhere, of your cash flow and alerts for unexpected expenses. It analyzes past finances and projects how much money you'll have tomorrow, next week, and next month. Start your free trial now at CashflowTool.com/Barry. It's simple, powerful, and predictive.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@maltz.com. That's barry@maltz.com.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun, and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMaltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule.
My husband's blood pressure has dropped 30 points. I've lost 8 pounds. He's lost about 20 pounds. His arthritis is gone. You guys have given me back my husband. I'd come home from work, and if he beat me home from work, he would be laying in the recliner, and I would feed him supper in his recliner and would be like really boring, pathetic old people watching TV while we ate dinner and then go to bed exhausted and wake up tired. I came home from work last night, and he was mowing the lawn. It was just, it's amazing. It's amazing. It's so amazing.
When you call, use discount code Chicago, and we'll take 35% off your first preferred set of fruits and veggies and have them shipped to you free. Call 800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751, or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code Chicago.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, for many small business owners, social media is a key part of their marketing strategy, but it's easy to make mistakes that will cost you time and money. Here to help is Rachel Strella, is the founder of Strella Social Media, a social media management company serving dozens of clients nationally. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So one of the biggest questions I get from small business owners is, I know I need to do social media, but where do I start?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You want to start with a plan for what that looks like. Most business owners have real no concrete plan for getting going. They just sort of throwing spaghetti at the wall. So you really want to figure out what those goals are that you're trying to achieve with social media. You need to know who your audience is, and then you also need to know how you're going to reach them, with what message are you going to convey.
So give us an example. What should some of the goals be?
The goals could be engagement. It could be having people that are on your fan page or people that interact with you on Twitter that want to actually have something to do with your brand. 80%, almost 90% of people are lurkers, so they see the content, but they're not interacting with it. So a goal, especially for a small business, would be engagement of the audience, people that are actually interacting with the brand. Another goal would be driving website traffic. That's a great use of social media.
And then your second thing was, you got to figure out your audience. How do you determine that?
Well, if you're already in business, you have customers. Well, I hope. I know how small business goes. But if you have customers, that's a start. You can use all kinds of things to get the customers already on board, but then you can target similar customers or prospects the same way. Other times, people find you online. If you have a small business and you have a national or even international audience, you have a lot more opportunities available to you to reach the masses, really.
And so then how do you go out and actually reach these people? Because, again, that's the key.
Well, you want to start with integration. If you have, let's say, a customer list, an email list, you know, you can import that into custom audiences in Facebook. You could be sending them information when they check out at your store with follow us at Facebook or follow us on Twitter. You know, that's always a great way to jumpstart that audience. Beyond that, it's going to really depend on the specific target and the goals that you want to achieve with that audience. If you're looking to expand your reach beyond your customers, then you need to be thinking about things like lookalike lists, which are something you can use with Facebook, or you can be finding ways to draw people in with content, which is huge. And that's a big part of a strategy. And it's also a big part of what's changed in the social media environment as well.
So tell us about what the lookalike list, Rachel, really look like. I'm taking my set of customers and putting it into Facebook. How does that work?
Yes. If you have a business page on Facebook, you can take the customer list you have and you can import it into an area called custom audiences. And this is where retargeting comes into play. You can already target those customers, but Facebook lets you do this neat little thing called lookalike. You literally select that list and say, create a list just like these people. So whatever data Facebook has on the people in that list, they're going to create a similar list of people that you can target. And the best part about that is when you're ready to target that audience, let's say your business is in Memphis and you don't want to reach everybody, you just want Memphis, you can limit that when you're ready to actually put a post out there and say, I only want it to reach within 25 miles of Memphis. Anybody who has that lookalike characteristic. It's a really neat and powerful tool.
So, Rachel, what are some of the biggest mistakes that small businesses make when they're trying to use social media as part of their marketing strategy?
The biggest one is really not having a plan to start, but then not executing that plan. Many people will delegate this to their admin assistant or an intern. Also, what I see, especially for small businesses, is that the business owners themselves try to take it on. And I find that's not sustainable. You have a business to run. So I would definitely recommend that you find the adequate resources to keep it consistent and to do it well, to actually meet those goals. That's how I started a social media management business, was most people wanted that strategy, but then they couldn't execute on it.
I think this is really I think this is really interesting, because a lot of people would not do their own advertising campaign. They would not do their own branding. But somewhere along the line, they think they can do their own social media really effectively.
Right. And I think that mindset, is because social media is still semi-new compared to all the other media that's out there, there's still the mindset that they don't want to allocate the resources to do that efficiently. They can just do it themselves. But that's where having a plan is really important, because executing that plan to the T and actually analyzing the results are key to making social media work.
And I think we get that because a lot of owners are used to using social media on a personal basis, and they think that using it for their business is exactly the same, but it isn't.
Correct. Well, I'll say that especially if you're a small business, your personal brand is relevant. You're selling yourself in some instances, especially in a service. But a business social media presence cannot be the same. I hear people say that they have their son do it when he comes back from college, but the son doesn't really know how to represent the business online. That's just a whole different way of going about what social media can do.
Absolutely. Rachel, thanks for being on the show. You want to reach Rachel, you can go to www.strellasocialmedia.com. Rachel, thanks again.
Thank you, Barry.
This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
For the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center, I'm Jeremy Scott. Still have this crash closing 103rd from Stony Island to Torrance on the city south side, as well as in Huntley. Southbound Halgus is closed from Algonquin all the way over to Maine. Now, looking at your expressways and tollways, those are actually looking pretty good. I do want to let you know that 55 southbound to Black 2, your left lanes are closed till 10 for construction. Inbound on the Dan Ryan, you are seeing three of your right lanes closed at the 95th Street Station for construction. That is going to last until 7, and it's also closing the right lane of the inbound Bishop Ford from King Drive all the way over to the Dan Ryan. Now, the rest of your roadways, as we said, looking pretty good. Other than those two crashes that we mentioned on the roadway. Forecast for today, mostly sunny, slight chance of storms throughout the day. Temperatures in the low to mid-80s. Right now, at O'Hare and Midway, it's in the 60s. That's traffic on AM 560, The Answer.
Do you wake up at night worried about your business cash flow? Or worry about running out of cash, not knowing when your invoices get paid, or panic when a sudden expense happens? Well, worry no more. Welcome to CashflowTool.com, the ultimate companion for QuickBooks. CashflowTool.com gives instant visibility on any device, anywhere, of your cash flow and alerts for unexpected expenses. It analyzes past finances and projects how much money you'll have tomorrow, next week, and next month. Start your free trial now at CashflowTool.com/Barry. It's simple, powerful, and predictive.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun, and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, there is no doubt that retailing has been turned upside down by Amazon, but there really still is a future for small business retailers. Here to help is Barbara Kahn. She's the Baker Professor of Marketing at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. She's working on a new book. It's called The Shopping Revolution, How Successful Retailers Win Customers in an Era of Endless Disruption. Barbara, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, as I go on and talk to small business owners that are especially retailers, I continually get the question, Barry, how the heck am I going to compete with Amazon? And so now I'm going to say, let's just ask Barbara.
Okay. Well, in my book, I outlined two kind of strategies that anybody would have to do in order to make it in this really disruptive environment. The first one is that the expectations of consumers are constantly being ratcheted up. So you can't offer like an inconvenient experience or an unpleasant store experience or bad products or unfair prices. Those are the four components of a successful strategy that I think are necessary. You have to be at least good enough at all of those. And then you have to find something that you're the best at. And then because this is such a competitive industry, you have to leverage that leadership advantage and be the best at something else. So, for example, Amazon is really easy. It makes shopping as easy as it possibly can be, and it also offers really low prices. So to compete against Amazon, you either have to have a terrific store experience or a warm store experience, something local, something, you know, touch and feel, because Amazon's not about really fun store experiences. Or you have to have exclusive brands, fun brands that aren't sold on Amazon. Both of those would be winning strategies.
And so what about the idea of, again, trying to create a relationship with the customer? Because Amazon does a pretty good job of doing it online, but how can a small business compete with that? Because many times they don't have the software actually to simulate that experience.
Yeah, so like that's what I'm saying. They can win at a in-store experience that's personal and customized and you really know the customer. But in this world of disruptive retailing, I think it's getting to be where even small retailers are probably going to have some online presence because people are just expecting that.
So what do you see really as the future with digital shopping coming along? What's really the future of shopping malls and downtown shopping districts? Should these people just give up or should they really be focusing on the in-store experience?
Well, what we're seeing with, you know, the closing and in 2016 and 2017 and a very large number of stores closed, but they were stores that weren't performing very well. They rank malls by this rating system A, B, and C. And the malls that tended to close down were B's and C's. They were the ones that were – some of the department stores were closing up stores because they just had too many of them, and those stores weren't performing well. And when those anchor stores went down, it kind of took down the entire mall. But there are still plenty of shopping malls around, and the ones that are surviving are fun to go to. They're exciting experiences. You know, like some of them have Nordstrom in it, for example, and Nordstrom's doing all sorts of fun pop-up experiences. They have a concierge there. Some of these new malls are featuring really cool restaurants or playgrounds or something experiential, something that's driving the customer to get out of their house and, you know, outside in the fresh air.
So do you think that, you know, some of these retailers can hold on to their success?
I think they can as long as they do what I said. They have to continue to differentiate themselves. They have to have something that they're offering that's better than that people can get on Amazon. But then they also have to keep up with changing values. The digitally native consumers, the millennials and Generation Z, those people really are expecting digital relationships. They walk around, you know, they can't find their supermarket without their phone. So they expect to be able to walk into a store and look at something online while they're in the store. So I think the expectations really are that you're going to have some kind of online presence. You're going to have to compete with someone on fair price. You can't keep charging prices that are just extravagant when they can get things much cheaper on Amazon. That's just not going to work.
You see, what I find interesting is I think that people have to realize, as you were saying, you have to have an online and an offline experience. So, you know, for example, I just had my Apple TV, which I talked about earlier, broke, and I was on the phone with Apple Tech Support. And they said, well, we can't really fix it. Why don't you go to the local Apple store? I'll make an appointment for you. And I went over to the local Apple store, and they fixed it. This was really online and offline really coming together.
Right.
And we're really just one consumer. We don't think of ourselves as offline and online. They're just different tools.
Exactly. That's exactly the way I think they invented the word omnichannel, which meant across all channels,
right.
Across online, mobile, and offline. But that's kind of an archaic word. Now that's just retailing. Just exactly as you described it, I think consumers just think about it as a seamless experience. That's what retail is.
Do you think that Generation Z still wants to go into stores?
There's some evidence that they still are going into the stores. Some of the surveys I've seen show that maybe 80 to 90% say they go into physical stores at least once in a while. The question is, as they get into their 30s and 40s, because, you know, these Generation Zs are just starting college now, and when they get time crunched, like people tend to do in their 30s and 40s when they have family concerns and two incomes and just they're busy, they have more money than time in those years, what will happen then? Will they still go to physical stores, or will they just adopt the convenience of online shopping? Hard to say, but as of right now, nobody's predicting the end of physical stores. Everybody, you know, it's the same thing with movies. People predicted the
right.
end of movie theaters forever, but what they did was change, adapt.
Right, right. Now they're offering dinner, and they have different sound things, and I'm finding a lot of retailers are offering the sense of smell, like with Lush or Garrett Popcorn in Chicago, where you're smelling the popcorn as you're walking by. So, Barbara, thanks so much for being on the show. Where can people reach you if they want more information or get a copy of the upcoming book?
Yeah, if you just go online and Google or go to Amazon and type in The Shopping Revolution, I think it'll come up, and you'll see information about the book.
Barbara, thanks so much for being on the show. This is AM560 The Answer. Be right back.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Freak yeah, welcome to Jimmy John's.
Freak yeah. Whoa, she's going to slice down on that lettuce.
Freak yeah, she's a fresh lettuce freak. Slices it fresh every day at exactly 3/32 of an inch.
Freak yeah. Wait, now she's carving meats?
Freak yeah, she's also a meat freak. Slices are all natural meats by hand daily.
Freak yeah. Freak, you gotta be kidding me.
Freak yeah, also a bread freak. Makes bread fresh in-store every 4 hours.
Freak, wow.
Here's the best part. We're all lettuce, meat, and bread freaks here. Because that means better sandwiches for all.
Double freak wow. You guys are freaking my freak.
Freaky fresh, freaky fast. Jimmy John's, freak yeah.
Hi, Tom Baudet, hearing a lot of chatter about net neutrality, which has something to do with how much the internet costs, I think. Well, Motel 6 has put that thorny issue to rest. Wi-Fi is now free at all our locations, which means the internet costs, well, nothing. So you get a great Wi-Fi-enabled room with no extra net costs, because charging for the net is just gross, and nobody feels any neutrality about that. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the Wi-Fi on for you. Book online at Motel6.com.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM560, The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Moltz.
Well, as a small business owner, how do you engage a digital agency to help your marketing in your business? My next guest is Drew Barton. He's the founder and president of Southern Web, an award-winning digital agency specializing in web development and digital market solutions. He's also the author of the book called The Buyer's Guide to Websites. Drew, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Barry.
So where do you start? I mean, everyone knows that they have to do online branding and online marketing, but it's confusing for a lot of small businesses. How do I get going?
Yeah, the best thing that I recommend is to create a punch list, a checklist of things that you want to have happen during the project, your goals and what your go, no-go questions are. So if you have goals in the project in terms of the number of leads or the ranking that you wanted to have in the search engine, to be upfront about that with your web designer, your web developer, or the company that's going to help you get started.
So are you making a list of what you wanted to do or the benefits that you hope to accrue from a successful implementation of a project?
Both. So it's important to know and state what your expectations are whenever you're working with someone to help build that website. So it could be in terms of leads, it can be in terms of functionality on the site, but to state those expectations, because in the development process, it's much easier to state those expectations up front than to do it halfway or at the end of the project when it's too late.
So, Drew, how should you figure out what you should be paying for this kind of online project?
Honestly, it is a budget. It's a question for yourself in terms of budget. And there are different ways that you can go about doing it, and there are different solutions for each budget. So if your budget is smaller, you might have to use one of the do-it-yourself solutions, the Squarespaces, the Wixes, the GoDaddy solutions that are out there. Step up from that could be using a theme that's been pre-built. And a step up from there, the more expensive option would be to build something custom.
And so what do you do, Drew, if things go wrong during the process, where many times it does?
You talk about it. And to do it in a non-accusatory or anyway fashion, to just say, my expectation was this, and we're not reaching that expectation. And what can we do to clarify and make it so it's a win-win situation for both of us? Oftentimes what happens is people don't speak to those missed expectations, and it creates a resentment. And highly recommend talking about it upfront and also going through what your biggest fears are before we get started on the project. My biggest fear could be that you're going to use terminology that I'm not going to understand in the project. Or my biggest fear is that after spending all this money, I'm going to be in page two of the search engines.
Right, right.
So stating that upfront is huge, and it builds that rapport, that relationship that you want with your web developer or agency.
Well, Drew, I appreciate you being on the show and showing us how to get started. Where can people get in touch with you?
Sure. They can reach me at my firm, southernweb.com, or give us a call, 404-220-8384.
Drew, thanks so much for being on the show, and I want to thank everyone for joining us on this week's radio show, and I want to thank our sponsors, Nextiva. They are the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. And I also want to thank Finagraph's cashflowtool.com. Please use it, and you'll always know where your cash flow is in your small business. If you want more information, go to www.cashflowtool.com/Barry. I want to thank our staff, our booking producer, Sarah Schaffran, our in-studio producer, Debbie Schreiner, our marketing manager, Courtney Gilchrist. If you are serious about being more successful this year, you got to give me a call on my private line, 773-837-8250, or you can email me at barry@moltz.com. Isn't this the year that you finally, after all this time, get your business unstuck? Isn't this the year that you finally make the money that you deserve? Remember, love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymoltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
Hi.